I'm Barry Farrell, Premier of the State, and you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
What up, I'm Benji Marshall.
I'm Gareth Ellis.
I'm Wally Takiri. And you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
And welcome to another action-packed, hard-hitting episode of Who's Playing Who. I'm Adrian McMurray, and thank you for joining us for yet another outstanding episode of this humble little podcast. And yes, it is episode 57, our 2012 Grand Final Edition, the third annual Grand Final Edition of Who's Playing Who. What a podcast this is going to be, and joining me to get through everything, first of all, Who's Playing Who owner, co-owner, Matthew Trodden.
Thanks, Adrian. I would like to be, you know, I wouldn't mind if I was bumped up to sole owner, but I'll take co-owner for now. It's a great time of year for any footy fans, AFL or NRL. It's final, grand final time, and the long weekend as well. So Monday, everyone gets off to recover.
Absolutely. And also, over there in New Zealand, first of all, it's Tomo Yee.
Hey, Adrian. How's it going, man? Yeah, big week this week. And finals aside, it's big because this is, you know, our last show for the season. So, you know, ready to go.
That's it. And, of course, our latest addition, who we found, is pretty much, well, he's the new Gangnam Style or whatever that video is called on YouTube. I wouldn't say he's taking Korea by storm, or the world by storm, but he's pretty much taken the rugby league world by storm. It's Ruben Norris.
Yeah, g'day, Adrian. I'm disappointed that it's ending so soon for the season. Feels like I'm just getting into it, but looking forward to this weekend's action.
Absolutely. Or we'll start with the opening question, as we do each and every week. And we're going to ask, what are you doing for your pre-grand final rituals on Saturday and Sunday? We'll start with Matt.
Saturday I'm playing cricket, so I won't be seeing the grand final. So there's no real ritual there. But Sunday, most times I'll watch one grand final for the last couple of years, most likely the 2005 one. Before I head off to support the Tigers in the State Cup and New South Wales Cup and kind of try and ignore the first grade game as much as possible.
Sounds exciting. We'll go to Tomo.
I've got a basketball tournament all weekend, so unfortunately my pre-game ritual will probably be my actual pre-game ritual before I play sports, so I don't think I'll be able to catch me in the finals. I'll definitely try and catch the highlights. But, usually on a day like that, I remember when I was in Australia one year for grand final. It must have been years ago. I think Brisbane were playing in the final. So that tells you how long ago it was. And I think, you know, had the old barbecue going and watching the footy. So that's probably what my ritual would be.
Oh, well, you're going out there and you're competing yourself, so there's no shame in that. Ruben, what about you? Surely at least you're watching something.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, I'm incredibly struck down with work at the moment as well, but I'm going to do my best to catch the Toyota Cup game before the NRL final, and I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm really excited for this one. Even though the Warriors aren't in it, this is good.
Cool. And, yeah, I'm not doing anything special either. Just Saturday, I'll just probably turn on the AFL, and Sunday head out to the NRL. So, geez, that's been an exciting little segment there, hasn't it?
Are you going to the game, Adrian?
Yeah, we both are. So it should be good fun.
Oh, great!
But yeah, that's our pre grand final rituals.
What a strong start to the last show of the season.
Well, we should have probably tested that before we started recording, but hey, that's podcasting for you. It's pretty dangerous stuff.
If we cared more, we'd go back and retape it, but we're probably not, though, are we?
Let's move on now. We have mentioned it, the NRL Grand Final, and the Bulldogs play the Storm at ANZ Stadium. Kickoff around, I think it's meant to be 5 p.m. I've seen quarter past five in other places. They'll probably push it back. Yeah, okay, so the Storm blew away the Seagulls on Friday night. It was a pretty one-sided contest, and the Bulldogs got the better of the Rabbitohs on Saturday night, running away with that one. Who do we like here? Can you split them? I'll start with you, Matt.
Oh, I can. I think the Storm will just creep home in this one. I just think they've got their big match players. They've got people with grand final experience. Even though the NRL doesn't like to acknowledge the fact that those players have played grand finals, they have. They'll just edge it there. They've timed their run pretty well. They had a very good start to the season. And they really, as bad as Manly were on Friday night, I think the Storm were quite clinical themselves. They didn't stretch themselves too much. They just did their job, piled the points on in the end. And I think they may do something similar, maybe not as many points, but something similar on Sunday night.
All right, so you're going probably 1-12 there?
Yeah, not a blowout score.
Okay. Actually, we'll go to Ruben now for his tip. Who are you going to pick here?
I was quite wrong last week about the Storm. They got up pretty easy against Manly, and I think they played really well. And so did the Bulldogs. They were quite fantastic against the Rabbitohs, who weren't really up to that game, but my heart just does not want the Storm to win, and my head tells me that the Bulldogs have played too well this season that I can't see them. I really can't see them losing it. You can talk about grand final experience, and you probably see it each year. You know, they talk about happening to lose a grand final to win one, but I think we're onto something different here. I think the Bulldogs will take this out. I think it could be a few points in it. You know, both teams have try scoring players, but yeah, my tip is on Bulldogs 1-12.
Okay, that's an interesting one. What about you, Tomo?
Okay, last week when you asked us about who we picked out of Manly and Melbourne, I, up to that point, before Ruben gave his answer, I was going to always pick Melbourne. And then Ruben goes on this long rant, and then for some reason I talked myself into this idea that momentum was important, and I switched my pick and went Manly. And Melbourne, you know, they must have heard me because they just shat on Manly in a disgusting way, and they were terrific. Last week, and Ruben this week's gone out on a limb and picked the Bulldogs. There is no way I'm going to fall for that again. I'm going to go Melbourne.
Excellent stuff there. I'm going to go the Storm as well. I think they're going to do it comfortably. I don't know why, but I've just got a feeling. I think Melbourne 13 plus is the way to go there, but it should be a fantastic game anyway. And if we have a look at the tipping for the NRL so far this year, Matt is on 132 points. He's out in front, closely followed by Tomo on 126, myself 125, then Shippy on 120, James on 116, and of course Ruben was a late inclusion during the season, so he got the lowest scores from every round prior to him joining us. He's on 95. But he's assured me he will be up and about for next season. So at this stage, it looks like Matt is in an unassailable lead. However, if you recall last year, Tomo was in the same position, and we agreed to for the grand final for it to be worth 10 points. So, gentlemen, are we up for this arrangement again?
Is it just me and Tomo?
isn't it always?
I'd like to see Adrian's tip first before you make that decision.
I suppose if we all pick Melbourne, then it doesn't matter anyway.
Well, if Matt's going to pick Melbourne, then I'll take Canterbury then for the.
So we're going with 10 points.
Yeah, why not? I was in the same position last year, and it cost me so much.
No, that's great. Okay, so on the basis of wanting to regain the NRL tipping title that he feels was robbed, and probably were robbed last year, to be honest.
It was only out of sheer confidence I agreed to the bet last year, so this year
All right, so it's on again, and we will see who comes out on top there. Should be a fantastic game. Anyway, and we have a look at the other code now. This one's Saturday, the AFL Grand Final. Hawthorn, they welcome Sydney to the MCG. Can the Swans do the job here? Now, before we go to James, he has recorded something for us. But before we go to James, we'll go around the panel. Tomo, who are you tipping?
Who have I got? Who did I put down? I wrote this down. I've taken the Hawthorn Hawks this week.
Okay, well done. Very good. It's good. You're all on top of it. Ruben?
I think the Hawks will swoop on this one. The trophy, the trophy's in their eyes.
Nice. How long have you been working on that one?
How long has the podcast been going?
Yeah, very good.
37 minutes.
I agree with Tomo. Hawthorn, I think, just think Sydney may not have enough points in them to match the Hawks. Their defence will probably be good enough, but I don't know if they've got enough points in them, even though they've kind of smashed a couple of teams lately.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go Sydney, but I'm going to go the Hawks. I said a couple of weeks ago it was their premiership to lose now, and I can't see anything changing that. Just one note, though. I did say a couple of years ago, imagine how funny it would be if Mike Pike won the Brownlow medal. Now, of course, he didn't this year. Joe Watson did. But there is every chance, if he has a blinder and the Swans get up, that he could be the Norm Smith medalist. And what an amazing story that would be. From scoring a try for the Canadian rugby team against the All Blacks to winning an AFL flag. What a career. What a career.
Was that what you get if you win the AFL? A flag?
No, you get a trophy.
Oh, okay. I was just about to say, it's just really like, you know, a bit of an anticlimactic gift.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
You do actually get a flag, though.
Yeah.
What's the flag of?
It's just like it's a premiership. Like got a, you know, like
I thought
Hawthorn
it was
like
everyone gets an Australian flag. I was like, oh, that's good.
Aussie Rose, yeah.
All right, so the AFL segment's just battle along there. Well done. But for his expert opinion, we go now to James McBrien for his tip for the AFL Grand Final.
Yes, it's the Phantom here to preview the AFL Grand Final. I'm tipping the Hawks by about 4 goals, with Sam Mitchell or Sean Burgoyne to win the Norm Smith medal. I'm hoping for a high-quality contest between both of these sides, but the Hawks should prove too good on the day and take their first premiership since 2008. Adios.
All right, thank you very much, James. Enjoy your trip, and we hope to see you back all freshened up for the summer series in a little while. Now we have a look at the Rugby Championship, and we did preview this week's fixtures last week. We got a bit excited there, but that's okay. The Wallabies, they do travel to South Africa to take on the Springboks, and I think we're pretty unanimous in our view still that the Springboks will win.
Yep.
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 Beautiful. And likewise, the All Blacks, they're over in Argentina playing Messi and Gonzalo Higuain and whatnot.
Tevez.
Nothing. Yeah. They're playing the Pumas. And if they don't win, that would be quite an upset. So I think we're all tipping the All Blacks again as well.
Yep. 50 plus.
Mm-hmm. 50. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's confidence. That's confidence. Away from home and everything. Wow. But Richie McCaw has announced during the week that he will be taking a sabbatical from the Super Rugby competition next year. And was it the June Internationals as well? Tomo, shed some light on that for us.
Yeah, well, they've just recently announced that, you know, as you said, he's going to take his sabbatical. He's going to opt in on it as part of his contract. And this is a reason to try and keep him fresh. Basically, just to keep him effective until the next World Cup, and hopefully he can lead the All Blacks to back-to-back titles in England. It's a interesting move, and I think it's a necessary one. McCaw obviously takes a pounding, you know, wherever he plays and whenever he plays. And I guess that game against the Springboks where that South African, you know, put a forearm into McCaw's skull and then intentionally, and he was Simbin. And McCaw just, you know, he's actually been playing pretty well this season. He had a really good game against the Springboks in Dunedin, and there was this one segment where I think Aaron Cruden took a penalty from about 40 metres out, and it bounced off the uprights, and McCaw was the first person there to collect the ball about 10 metres out from the Springbok line. And the evolution of him as a player has been pretty staggering. And so I think it's a smart option to give him some time off away from the game, because, you know, professional rugby players, it is a pretty demanding schedule, especially with the Southern Hemisphere teams, the way that their competitions are structured. So I think, you know, giving him every opportunity to not only, you know, rest physically, but also mentally. I think, you know, mentally it's pretty draining on the players as well. So, and he's got a couple of niggling injuries. So, you know, this time off will give him the opportunity to fix himself up and get him ready and focused for, you know, the lead into the next World Cup.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. He's, 31 at the moment, thereabouts anyway. So, yeah, good move. And obviously the New Zealand Rugby Union have their priorities set. They know what they want to do, and they're resting him strategically for the next World Cup. So I don't think we could be really affording to rest any of the Wallabies now for that prolonged period of time. So.
Well, I mean whether he's still effective. Oh, I was just saying, sorry, Matt. I was just saying whether he's still effective in 2015 is going to be another question. But yeah, right now it looks like a pretty smart move. Sorry, Matt, what were you going to say?
I was going to say some of them might be on a forced rest when the next coach does come in, because it's unlikely, I would say, that Robbie Deans would take them to the next World Cup. But just on McCaw, I think they've got to be wary that he doesn't lose focus completely, because I think a little bit of time away will work wonders, but if you stay a bit too long, sometimes you lose the motivation to go back. Maybe lose a bit of shape. I think he's professional enough that his physical shape, he won't lose too much of that. But there's also a bit of a motivation loss if you kind of sit around and rest up for a while. When you come back, you might not be as mentally switched on as you would if you'd been training the whole preseason.
Yeah, I think that's a good point from Matt. I think we saw it with Dan Carter when he went to France. You know, he left as you know, world's number one player, and he came back and he was quite disappointing, really. So, yeah, I think you make a good point there. But also, I think the NZRU are basically the whipped boyfriend in this situation, where McCaw, being the girlfriend, could do or say whatever he wanted, and the NZRU would go, yes, yes, no, fine, go do it, because they don't want to lose him completely. So I think it's deserved for him. Good on him.
Beautiful imagery there. That's wonderful stuff. Now, fair enough. That's Richie McCaw's sabbatical. Let's go to the football now. And Matt, can you give us a Capital One Cup date?
Yes, Capital One Cup date time. Not as good as the Asian Cup date, unfortunately. No spectacular opener. But we did have some very interesting results on Tuesday night/Wednesday morning. Sydney time. Leeds with a 2-1 upset victory over Everton. They did lead 2-0, 1-0 for a long time in the game, then 2-0 not long before the end. Everton grabbed one back but couldn't get the result. Wigan 4 over West Ham 1. I think, Adrian, you were mentioning when we were talking before the show that Big Sam isn't really happy with the West Ham performance. They were very good to grab a 1-1 draw the weekend in the Premier League, but obviously not so great there. And probably the biggest upset, Villa 4, Man City 2. That was the one was in extra time. It was kind of neck and neck for a long time there. They went goal for goal, and then extra time, Gabby Agbonlahor grabbed one, finished a double, and I can't remember who the other scorer was, but they jumped a 4-2 lead in extra time and hung on for a very big win.
The other one there was Charles and Zogbia.
Yes.
Well, that's it. Sorry, I got your back. And yeah, Roberto Mancini said after the game he had a bit of an issue with, his name's just escaped me, Aston Villa's new coach, Paul Lambert, with the way that he was sort of having a go at him, a bit of a verbal stoush there on the sideline when Mancini went and questioned ruling with the fourth official. So interesting there, a bit of off-field
banter.
Yep.
It's interesting that he would say that it was okay for Sir Alex to abuse Jonjo Shelvey as he walked off the pitch after being sent off at the weekend.
Just on that, isn't it amazing now that Sir Alex has got like usually he has some sort of like mind control over the referees when they're playing at Old Trafford, that he can get sort of like a sneaky penalty here and there, but now he can do it away from home as well.
It's quality. He's getting wiser in his old age.
That's it. He is a great man. And we look ahead now to the EPL match of the round. We've chosen Arsenal and Chelsea. This one's 9:45 on Saturday night, Sydney time, coming to you from the Emirates Stadium. Now, Arsenal, they, as we record this, are yet to play their Capital One League Cup fixture. But I can tell you that Chelsea managed to get over the top of the mighty Wolverhampton Wanderers 6-0.
Wolverhampton Wolves.
The Wanderers or Wolves?
Wolves, I think.
Anyway, semantics. we'll find out later. Goals to Gary Cahill, Ryan Bertrand, Juan Mata, his Spanish compatriot, these names are getting me, Oriol Romeu, Fernando Torres on the score sheet, would you believe it, and new recruit from Wigan, Victor Moses as well. Good result for Chelsea, but can they carry it on to the Premier League against an Arsenal side who are very tight defensively? Both these sides actually very good defensively so far in the league. Matt, your tip for this one?
Oh, I'm going to go Chelsea here. I think they've been quite good so far this season. They've looked fairly impressive. Arsenal have been a bit up and down. They struggled to score goals early, couldn't get results. They've got a bit better, but the 6-0 says it all for me. That Chelsea are hitting their straps fairly early, and I think they'll have the quality all over the park, particularly in attack, to take down Arsenal, even at the Emirates.
Fair call. Tomo?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Arsenal for this one. I think when Matt was saying, you know, that 6-0 win, I think that might get them a bit complacent for this game.
Fair call. And they do, Chelsea do have the extra day's rest as well, which is, a slight advantage in this very busy period of the year. Ruben, your thoughts?
Arsenal were quite impressive against Man City to get a draw out of that match.
Yep.
But I think Chelsea have just been too good all along, and I think they will take this.
Okay. I'm going to be a bit boring and go a draw. just because I think both sides...
You're right, that is boring.
I think both sides will cancel each other out there, but it should be a fantastic game nonetheless, and beautiful scheduling as well for the early game, so we won't lose any sleep watching that one. Let's have a look at our Fantasy Premier League now, and a bit of an update there. James is still out of the six of us. He's still out on top in 11th spot. He's fallen a couple of places. I've fallen a couple of places as well in 13th place. But Matt, you are just slowly yet surely creeping up the ladder.
Yep, I've timed my run quite well. I have actually gone on and put my Chelsea players who I had benched a few weeks ago because they weren't involved in that game week. I have finally, that finally made a return to my team. I've had to give Vidic, who is out for 2 months, I believe, with another knee issue, had to give him the punt. And I've been able to do a bit of a restructure and end up with quite a good pairing of Stephen Pienaar and Leighton Baines into my squad. So I'm quite happy with that.
Beautiful stuff there. And the man still out on front, the coach of the Dark Knights, they are in 459th place overall out of 2.5 million players. So that's a spectacular effort. And he, of course, leads our league actually quite comprehensively at this early stage of the season. So well done to him. Hopefully, I think we can't track him down now. We're already about 100 points behind him. But hopefully he can do Who's Playing Who proud and finish in the top sort of 100 there. Anyway, we move on. It's time for this award-winning segment.
Put put on your thinking caps. It's time for another edition of the Think Tank, the final edition of the Think Tank for this season, and I'm excited. I heard last week's show, and I gave the Think Tank a B plus. It was solid, but you know it could do better. And I thought this week we'd kick it old school and we'd go back to the idea of random thoughts. And if you only recently just joined Who's Playing Who, the idea of random thoughts and the Think Tank really started. When I used to frequently write back in the day, and I'd kind of just ramble on some random thoughts there in my head that really had nothing to do with anything. And I thought this week I came up with a list of things that I'd been thinking about, and I thought I'd put them to you guys and see your reactions to it. So kind of like a rapid fire. So the first thing I've got, the first question I have is, whatever happened to roller rinks? I've seen them in movies, and I don't think I've ever seen one in real life. And I thought, you know, maybe they, I think they'd be more enjoyable than an ice hockey rink, purely because it wouldn't be as cold. Adrian, your thoughts? Whatever happened to the roller rink?
They were sort of in vogue in the 90s, I guess. Seem to remember going to a few birthday parties, I suppose, at the old roller rink. But yeah, no, I haven't seen any for probably the last 10 or so years, so I don't know where they've gone, but hopefully they're still somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully. Matt?
I there was one, I think at like Marrickville or Enmore, which is in a west of Sydney, and I seem to remember driving past it, and it's kind of all boarded up. It's still like it says roller rink and whatnot around it. I think I've been there once, but it's just a vague memory for some reason going there. There was a video clip of Leighton Hewitt's wife. She, one of the songs, she I'm going to say she produced because I'm doubting whether she actually sung the song. that was filmed in that roller rink. So I think it was very much a 90s thing, as Adrian said.
Yeah. Okay, Ruben.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Tomo. I think ice skating is great. I used to love going to the old ice skating rink. But I think roller rinks are more of an American thing because most people don't trust Americans with sharp blades on their feet.
Always bringing race into it, Ruben, aren't you? Always.
Hello to our American listeners out there.
Yeah, or goodbye. They've probably just switched it off. Yeah. The next point I want to get to are bricks. Now, obviously in Christchurch at the moment, they're bringing down a lot of buildings because of the earthquake. And one of the buildings that I've driven past has been the old, Adrian, Ruben, you might remember, the old Science Alive building, the old Hoyt Cinema. And it was this gigantic, you know, brick structure. And, you know, they're bringing it down, you know, they're knocking them down. And I drove past and I just saw all these bricks. And I was just thinking, are bricks, like, just think about the idea of having to brick a wall. Like, it'd be one tedious, because they're small and you have to pave them individually. Like it would just take time and it would take a lot of resources and you're wondering why they did just put up a giant block wall. Like my idea was like the guy who invented bricks was just sitting around one day with his friends and he was joking like, oh man, imagine we should make a wall this with all these little stones. And the person's like, genius. That is what we're going to make. That is what we're going to make walls with now. And I just thought, you know, he's probably joking at the time, but now bricks, you know, they're a feature of the modern house. And I was wondering, what are your opinions on bricks? Because I think, you know, they're actually a little pointless, especially when you have to put all of them together to make a giant wall when you could just make the wall from one giant brick. So that's my little ramble on that. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
I think they're quite a tried and true building material. I don't think they're useless. I think they have a great purpose. I do. I get what you mean that it's time consuming and whatnot too, but isn't building anything time consuming?
That's true. But don't you think it makes it 10 times longer if you're putting up a wall by like basically making it out of Legos?
Yeah, but who wants? I get what you mean, but you wouldn't want to live in like a big slabs of concrete or something, would you?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. True. I mean, I can see why. I mean, you know, the whole story of the three little pigs, you know, protect you from wolves and all that.
Yes.
I mean, there's one way to look at it. Matt, what are your thoughts?
You just kind of took my two things there. Where would the Lego be? Where would we be without Lego? I mean, what would we play? That's essentially bricks. We wouldn't have anything to play with when we're young children.
True that.
Very true. Ruben?
Again, I'm going to have to disagree with you, Tomo.
Wow.
Bricks are probably one of the most important inventions in the human era. You go back as far as ancient Egypt, which bricks were sort of the first mass-produced building material, and they made, well, supposedly they made the tombs out of it. I think would be very, very far behind architecturally if bricks had never been invented.
I'm not disagreeing that, you know, them not being invented wasn't a good thing. I'm just saying, you know, at the time period that we're in now, don't you think there are more efficient ways to build a...
That's technology, though. That's always going to happen. I mean, no one walks around with a tape player anymore. I mean, why would you use a tape? Why not just put it on a silicon chip? You know, that's how technology evolves. So I think bricks, yes, nowadays are probably purely aesthetical. There are better ways to construct what we now build. Probably when you look at cities like Christchurch, they're probably not such a great thing anymore.
that's a good point.
Does no one walk around with a ghetto blaster anymore?
I'm sure there are some hipsters that do for the...
Yeah, it's
I'm sure Apple's going to release it and it'll claim it as their own or something like that. The eye blaster or something. Something to that effect.
Copyright that idea right now.
Yeah.
Okay. 57. The eye blaster.
Yeah. Next thing, police witness sketches. I was watching a film. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, and they gave this detailed description. And you know, when people they get sketch artists in and they draw a sketch of the perp or the criminal that gets away and they stick it around the city, and they're always incredibly detailed and they're always incredibly accurate. And I was thinking, how often are these things accurate? Because sometimes, surely in the heat of the moment, you don't really remember what they look like. So sometimes they might just look like a Mr. Potato Head, but we always see them as these well-drawn, perfectly articulated features, and they're always, you know, a good 90% accurate. So do you ever think, you know, sometimes there's people draw a real shitty sketch?
To be honest, they're not really ever going to be majorly accurate, because who can remember... facial, but it's amazing in how well in movies and TV people can remember facial features, and how well they sketch the person that just happens to be the perpetrator that you saw at the start of the movie who they disregarded. I always think that they're kind of just something to give cops evidence that they give them something to do almost. I don't know.
Apart from eating donuts and drinking coffees.
Yeah.
Ruben?
I think you'll be surprised on how accurate we can be with people's facial distinctions. You know, when you look at a person, you look them in the eye, and there's a database of a couple of hundred different eye shapes out there. And I think you'd be surprised that if you use your instinct, your gut feeling, you could actually pick someone's eyes from a list that you remember, and that goes a long way to being able to recreate what someone looks like in the face.
I do think they're very good tools for enhancing racial stereotypes.
Yes, I think you're right. And so, okay, Ruben's 0 from 3 with agreeing for me. Sweet, awesome. Moving on. The last one I've got for you guys, I was going to talk about trains, and you guys, Matt and Adrian, know about how much I'm disgusted by trains. Not disgusted, but angry about them, because they always seem to stop over train crossings and block up traffic, which happened again. But, you know, we're going to move on from that. The last thing I want to talk about, someone mentioned this the other day, I was at a work meeting, the idea of crying yourself to sleep. And I thought, I just don't believe that's actually physically possible, because you're like, you'd be hyperventilating, you're breathing quite heavily, and then like it's not like you just instantly, you know, you fall asleep. You know, I guess, you know, if you cry yourself to sleep, technically, you cry till you're exhausted, and then your breathing slows down, and then you fall asleep. So I Yahoo'd answered this, and I Yahoo'd, can you really cry yourself to sleep? And the best answer that came up was, Yes, it is possible. I've cried myself to sleep numerous times. I will lay down and cry and eventually be so exhausted I'll eventually just fall asleep. I've been doing it since I was 3 and I am currently 25.
Wow.
Ooh. I know. It's a bit rough though, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't... Yeah, I really thought about this one because I don't live a overly sad life. You know, I've got the podcast, I've got you guys. fills me with joy. So I don't tend to cry, you know, that often. And when I go to sleep, I'm usually in a, you know, fairly tired state and just out, you know, out you go. Yeah, that's a bit unfortunate, that example you just gave.
I know, but it's pretty hilarious, though. I'm not going to lie. I guess it's one of those Schadenfreude situations where, you know, their misfortune makes you a little happier about your own life. Kind of like how everyone at university is suffering so you don't feel as bad. Matt, what about your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it probably is possible, to be honest. I think it's probably just an exhaustion thing that people just completely, like, you're basically crying until you can't cry anymore, if you know what I mean.
Yes, sounds like you've had a lot of personal experience. Awesome.
We'll leave that one then.
Yeah. Rubes?
Yeah, well, I had to do it 16 times this year. So, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I actually should have picked up when the best answer was given by someone called Ruben N. yeah, that was the random thoughts, and that is all I've got in the think tank.
Great finish. Well done. A good think tank to finish us off for this series. I think it's our, what is it, our fifth series? I'll just confirm. Yeah, it's our fifth series. So we're drawing it to an end now, and what a series it has been. So you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/whosplayingwho. You can tweet us at whosplayingwho. You can email us, whosplayingwho@gmail.com. Or you can find us on our website, whosplayingwho.net, and comment away on any of the stories you see there. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just search for Who's Playing Who in the iTunes store and hit subscribe and get it downloaded into the iTunes program each and every week. Time to say goodbye to everyone, and what a series it has been. So we'll say, first of all, goodbye to Ruben, and I'll ask you, what are you going to spend your time off doing? And, of course, your vote for MVP for this episode.
Yeah, thanks, Adrian. What am I going to do? Well, I don't know. The NRL is coming to a finish, so that's most of my weekend gone.
Oh, God.
But, look, we have a strange thing that happens for about a month once every year. It's a bit of a rare thing in New Zealand, but it's called summer. And I'm gonna try and enjoy that.
Yep.
In about a couple of months, I will have finished uni for 4 years. So, I'm gonna have a bit of a break. What was the other part of your question?
MVP for this episode.
MVP. Before I get to MVP.
Yes.
I'd just like to put a wee plug in that Ruben's rant on YouTube has seemed to gather some interest. So if you'd like to go to the YouTube channel for Who's Playing Who, I believe the account name is Who's Playing Who.
That's correct.
And probably in the next couple of days there'll be Ruben's rant number 3 uploaded, and you can listen to the first two whenever you'd like. But I think MVP is quite an obvious choice. Adrian, I think you've done brilliantly. I've come in very late in the piece and only done a couple of episodes here, but I'm thoroughly impressed on your skills and organisation for this, along with Matt. I'm not sure what Matt's involvement is in this, but he's obviously co-owner, so he must be doing something right. You've got some knowledgeable thoughts, Matt, so runner-up for MVP, but today, Adrian, it's your turn to shine.
I'll just say that your thoughts about not knowing what I do is fairly accurate. it was a very good investment opportunity. I'll put it that way.
He was the first person asked to join the podcast. I think that's how he got the status.
Yes. Pretty much, yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your vote, Ruben. We'll say goodbye now to Tomo. What a season it's been. What are you going to spend your time doing? And your vote for MVP. And thanks again for your efforts this season.
Oh, no, thank you for having me back for another season. It's always an enjoyable time recording this podcast and hanging out with you guys in the virtual studio every week. And thank you to the listeners for staying with us for another season. What am I going to do with my time off? Oh, I don't know. I go back. I guess university's still always looming. And, well, no, I tell you what, though, the NBA season basically going to start in like 5 days. Training camp and all that's going to begin. And so there's nothing like watching NBA players, you know, just do drills, just do layups. And so I'm really excited for that in an abnormal way. You know, I've already decided I'm going to buy NBA League Pass, so that's going to set me back couple hundred dollars, but hopefully that means I could have more in-depth analysis for the website, you know. So I'm gonna write it off as a business expense and reclaim that purchase. My vote for MVP, I'm gonna agree with Ruben. Adrian, I think you've had an outstanding show, and not just an outstanding show, but an outstanding season. And you know, all this is possible because of you, so thank you very much. And you've done outstandingly well, and yeah, that's all I gotta say. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, it looks like I could have an unassailable lead here. We'll say goodbye now to Matt, of course. Again, this is your fifth season now. You've done another tremendous effort. We'll get you what you're doing with your time off and your vote for MVP.
Yes, thanks once again, everyone, for listening. It's been a very fun season, this one. A few new people on the show, which has definitely helped ratings. I probably won't be doing a whole lot, really, in the time off. I was a bit of cricket, maybe. The season's out of the T20 Champions League and T20 World Cup and whatnot's on, so a lot of TV watching of sport. And, you know, getting ready for the summer series, which I'm sure won't be too far around the corner. I'm sure everyone's sitting there eagerly awaiting what we will bring. MVP, I'm just going to follow the crowd, Adrian. And mainly because you actually do something with the website rather than... well, me, who co-owns and lets you run the show.
All right. Thanks for everyone's vote. I will vote... first of all, my time off, FIFA 13. It's coming out tomorrow when we're recording this, but it'll be out by the time you're probably listening to this. So that's what I'm going to be spending most of my time over the next few months doing. And also... of course, finishing off the old thesis. We'll get to that. And really looking forward to the summer series. My votes for MVP, I don't suppose it really matters, does it? I'm going to vote for myself. There we go. A full sweep.
Woo!
Yes. All right. Finally, finish off the season with an MVP award. Thanks, guys, for all your efforts over this season. Now, we will be back, as Matt alluded to, for the summer series. Around sort of early to mid November, somewhere around there. We'll be planning feverishly over the next few months to present you with the most outstanding summer series you will ever hear in your life. We could even have another new panelist join us. Who knows? Things could get crazy. James will be back from his adventures in Europe, and he may even smuggle back a Premier League player or two. Another one for the A-League, so you never know. And of course, many have said it is when we do our best work over the summer. So we have our Christmas episode, we've got our... I think last year we had a New Zealand-themed episode for when we played cricket against them. Our New Year's episode, that's always a lot of fun. The first one of the new year, it's all happening. It's going to be fantastic, and I can't wait for it. And it's been a fantastic season, so I'll stop rattling on. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for continuing to support the website and the podcast. We'll be back, as I said, around mid-November. But until then, all that matters is who's playing who. I've been searching for an easy way to escape the